Well, as everybody knows, it's the Christmas season. And it's supposed to be a happy season. But there are a lot of people in the world that need a lot of help. And it's not too great a season for them. You know, people are looking for help in all kinds of places. Some people are looking for medical help, and others are desperately seeking financial help, and others are looking to the new age practices, and then of the occults, and then of Eastern religions. And there's a lot of people looking for help, and some of the places are good and some are not. People living in fear, and they got anxious anxiety, and they're nervous. They don't know how they're going to pay the bills. They don't know what the doctor's going to say. They don't know whether their boss is going to let them go or keep them. But the bottom line comes back. The world and everyone needs Jesus. You know, title of this morning is called Looking for the Messiah. You know, they were looking for the Messiah many years before he came. And once he's come, there's still a lot of people looking for him. But he's here. A powerful, living, loving Jesus. A Jesus that can change your life and others' lives. A Jesus that can be the problem solver. In Genesis 3:15, it says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." And like I said, throughout history, people are looking for the Messiah. Man reached down, or maybe I should say looked down the annals of time, trying to catch a glimpse of a Redeemer. In the Old Testament, they were always looking forward and they held on to the hope of a coming Messiah. Actually, the prophets prophesied of it. They foretold the coming of the Messiah. And that he would come to deliver people. Isaiah said it this way in Isaiah 9:6. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Here the prophet Isaiah spoke of the coming Messiah. But he didn't come the way people of that day expected him to come. He came in a very unexpected way. Actually, his arrival was unrecognized by a lot of people. You know, they weren't looking for a baby. How in the world can a child help them? They were looking for someone that had the resources and the power to set up a kingdom and deliver them. They were looking for a king. They were looking for a mediator between man and God. They were looking for a redeemer to redeem them. They were looking for a deliverer to set them free. They were looking for a savior who could save them. The truth is, when you all stop and boil it all down, what looked insignificant to man becomes all sufficient in the hands of God. What looks insufficient to you, when you put it into the hands of God, it becomes all sufficient. No matter where you are and what your problem is or what you're facing. You know, many people read the Word of God with a closed mind. You need to read the Word of God with an open mind so that you see exactly what God is saying about this Messiah that He sent to mankind. He is the anointed one. And you will hear this scripture read many times during this season of the year. Luke 2:8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For it's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts singing hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill toward men." The heavenly choir announced to the shepherds. But I was thinking about that. Was there anybody else out there that could have heard the angels singing? You ever thought about that? Maybe I think about stuff that other people don't. I don't know. But it seems logical to me that there could have been other people besides the shepherds there. Because it said, and suddenly with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts. Well, a multitude is a bunch. That's how we'd say it where I come from. It's more than 12. When I hear the word multitude, I think of thousands. What about you? Anybody that? Right? Now, I am sure if there was that many people, that many angels that were singing glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill toward men, I'm sure it was echoing all across the countryside. So I'm just wondering if other people heard it. If they did, the shepherds was the only one that paid any attention to it. Maybe they had just been sitting there talking with one another about the coming Messiah. Because every Jewish boy was taught Isaiah and the other books, but especially Isaiah. If you notice, when Jesus went into the temple to read, he read from Isaiah. It seems that as we look in the Bible, it seems that they seem to go back to the prophet Isaiah more than any of the others, as we see. Israel and the people of God had been searching for a Messiah, one to deliver them. They were looking for the anointed one. Somebody that would have the supernatural powers of their God. That they had been told the stories that had been passed down from father to grandfather, from grandfather to father, all the way down, all the way back. They passed these stories down when they had the Passover supper. of how the power of God delivered them. That's what they were looking for. Every time they had the Passover, it was a reminder of them how God had delivered them from Egypt. And now they're under the tyranny and the tyrannical rule of the Romans. And they're looking for somebody to come because they heard of the power of their God, their Jehovah. They're looking for him to send a Messiah that would deliver them from their oppressor. They were looking for the Messiah. But instead of that, a child was born in a stable, unrecognized, overlooked, mostly unknown. From all outward appearances, what can this kid do? They couldn't see that he was the anointed one, the Savior of the world. They couldn't see that he was the one that the prophets of the Old Testament had prophesied about. Now, before we condemn them, let's think about this for a minute. If you had been living in that day, would you have been able to recognize the babe lying in a manger in Bethlehem as the Messiah, the deliverer? Come on now. Don't shut down on me. You see, they were people that, and human beings just like we are, thinking like we are. And so many times, because we look for the spectacular and we miss the supernatural. I've heard my dad say that many, many, many times. The Messiah came, but he was not received by everyone. Only a few. We go on there in Luke 4, looking into Luke 4:16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue, and on the Sabbath day he stood up to read. And when he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Right there, he is reading about himself, and he's telling them that everything they are looking for, he is. In fact, he went on to say in the 21st verse, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." If we want to say it in our language, he stood there in the temple, read from Isaiah, and then he said, in essence, he said, "You've been looking for a Messiah? Here I am." He was announcing he was the Messiah, the anointed one. He didn't make his appearance the way normally important, famous people do. His coming was not accompanied with all the pomp and ceremony. He did not appear with great fanfare like people do. He didn't come at the high point of a great marketing plan. But he came at the appointed time, the way God planned it. Galatians 4:4 says, and when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Excuse me. The people were going by what they saw in the natural, and they did not recognize Jesus of Nazareth as the Messiah. Actually, when he made this statement and he said, I am he, I am the Messiah, I am the anointed one, they got so irate. If you read on in verse 28 of Luke 4, so all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of a hill on which the city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through their midst of them, he went away. He told them, I am the Messiah, I have come. And they said, we don't believe it. In fact, they got so irate, they wanted to kill him. Jesus the Messiah, the anointed one. Later in his life, stood and overlooked the city of Jerusalem. And I guess maybe he was remembering reading in the synagogue and identifying himself as the Messiah, the anointed one, the one that had come to deliver them. And there in Luke 19:41. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this day, the things that make for your peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes. He wept over the city. And he went on to say, because you rejected the Messiah, there won't be one stone left upon another. And if you'll go read history, you'll find out that they were overthrown and the city of Jerusalem was destroyed until it was unrecognizable as a city. And the people were taken into captivity. One reason they didn't recognize him is because they were not looking in the right way. They weren't looking from a spiritual standpoint. They were looking in the natural standpoint for a deliverer. But Christ didn't come that way. He will come that way at what we call the rapture, when he comes and he catches us away. That's when he'll come that way. But he came this way, the way he came, to deliver men from the rule of sin and Satan. Because in the Garden of Eden, Adam, God's man, that God walked and talked with, that had authority and control over everything, he gave it to the devil when he was tempted. And Paul says there in 2 Corinthians 4:4, that the devil is the god of this world. The Messiah came, but to redeem man spiritually. So once again, man could walk and talk with God, not in the natural sense, but in the spiritual sense. Let me understand what I'm saying. But now once again, I want you to divorce yourself from that pew. I want you to take yourself back and put yourself in their shoes. Because of all you know and you've read, you've accepted the Messiah. But put yourself there. They were not open-minded enough to recognize the Messiah. The Messiah had come and they were still looking for the Messiah. Many things are said about Jesus. Good religious people say, well, believe in Jesus and you'll be a better person. Historians acknowledge there was a man by the name of Jesus Christ that lived for 33 years and helped humanity. There's a big book, it's about that thick, and it's got real small print, and it's called the Works of Flavius Josephus. And he lists that very statement and talks about this man that lived that named Jesus. Sometimes it'll be taught in the classroom from seminaries and places. Christ was a prophet, a good man who helped many. The philosophers, they applaud Jesus for his morals and his teaching. And those are all good things, and that all happens. But the Bible says he came as the Son of God to seek and to save the lost. Now let's come to today. Over 2,000 years later, will you recognize the Anointed One, the Messiah? Yes, many of you have, but perhaps there are some here that have not. Isaiah said, it had come to pass that the burden will be taken from your shoulders and the yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. The yoke of sin was lifted off of many of you. Well, all of you that have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior because of that anointing. And because of that anointing, you have all you have today. Today, the Messiah lives. And his power is available to everyone that will acknowledge him as Messiah and Savior. Ever since he was born in Bethlehem, in that manger, in that stable, the anointing power of God is available for every individual that will acknowledge him as the Messiah. Let us not make the mistake that was made by the Israelites and reject the very thing that you need to set you free and to keep you free. We need to continually, daily see Jesus as the Messiah, the Anointed One, God with us, who saves us, who heals us, who delivers us, who sets us free. We must continually recognize Jesus as the Messiah, the answer for all mankind. God is willing and wants to move among the man that he created. And when I say man, I'm talking about humanity. But he can only do that when humanity recognizes the Messiah and calls him such. You know, what is the answer for the world today? The Messiah. The Anointed One. Emmanuel. God with us. This is the hour to shout it from the housetop. Messiah was born. Messiah lived. Messiah died. Messiah rose from the dead. And we are free today because Messiah saved us. Messiah heals us. Messiah will deliver us. Messiah will provide for us. The Messiah is here to save you, to heal you, to set you free. The Messiah has come to keep you free, to keep you healed, to keep you saved. Today, if you're in this place and you've never accepted the Messiah as your Lord and Savior, bow your heads, please. And you that have accepted him, pray. And you've never accepted Christ, the Messiah, or you know what it is to accept him, but you know you're not living where you need to live for God today, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. The Spirit of God is speaking to you right now. Let me see your hand. I want to pray with you anywhere in this room. You need Jesus. You need to rededicate your life to the Messiah. Upstairs, downstairs, anywhere. Ushers, help me out. Thank you, Jesus. Let me see. I can't see everywhere. If you need Christ, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. I see no hands. Heavenly Father, if there be one person in this place that does not recognize your Son Jesus as their Savior and Messiah, I pray that that convicting power of God will go with them until they stop and call upon your Son Jesus. Thank you, Father. As I was praying, you guys here in the congregation, y'all pray. The Lord said, there's some of you that are watching that need to recognize the Messiah and accept him. There are many of you, he just said to me, that know what it is, but you're not where you need to be with God. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. This congregation is going to repeat it after me. And things are going to change in your life right now. Pray this prayer right now with me, right now. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son Jesus. I believe that he's the Messiah. I believe that he's the Son of God. I believe he lived. I believe he died. I believe he rose again. And you said in your holy word that if I would believe that in my heart and confess it with my mouth, I will be saved. I believe he's the Savior, the Messiah, in my heart. And I'm confessing it with my mouth. And I thank you, Lord, that I'm a new person in Christ. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, there's a deal there on the screen. You can go and let them know about it. Or you can write to partnerservices@rhema.org. We want to know about it. For you in this congregation, if you prayed that prayer in rededication to your life, or for the first time, if you'll see one of these guys as the service is dismissed, one of these guys in red, they'll get you a packet that will tell you about what you have just done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, did anybody get anything out of that message today? Remember, so many times we celebrate his coming, but remember, the Messiah is alive right now for you, and he will keep you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Everybody stand, please. Remember all of the announcements. Remember, we'll be here Wednesday night for Hour of Power, and then next Sunday morning at special service. Hey, if you got relatives coming in, hey, bring them with you. It's come as you are. Everybody will be in here together. It'll be a special time. And it won't last that long. It'll just be from about 10 to 11, probably maybe 11:15 at the latest, about an hour to hour and 15 minutes. And then you can go and celebrate Jesus with all the family. Amen. Hey, we had 1,683 watching on Rhema TV, and we had 1,300 that tuned by on Facebook, and I trust a bunch of them stayed with us. Praise God. Glory to God. Thank God for the Messiah. Quit looking for the Messiah. He's come. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, remember, connection team, go find our first time guest, please, and take them to the connection room to get that special gift. We're so glad to have you with us today. Thank you so much. And like I say, don't forget the all the announcements. Hey, pick up a bulletin, because there's no way we can announce everything. But I do want to remind you about helping with the We Care Center. Also, I want to remind you about that we need help with people for donations for the Christmas lights. You can go to the North Lobby. Right now, I want the staff to go to the doors. We're going to sing a chorus and be dismissed. I think I go to the north door today, so I'm going to barrel down that aisle right there. So we'll see you Wednesday night and next Sunday morning. God bless. Let's sing.
Jesus is the answer for the world today.